Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the hottest new show on the internet, where your host is an innovator, motivator, captivator, an inspirator, and an authoress. She comes raw and uncut. Sit back and relax. You're about to be unmasked by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Every Friday, right here, 7:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody was
everybody, for another episode of Unmasked with your host, authoress Terry E. Lyle. That tune was a flash in the past from Carl Douglas, Kung Fu Fighting. And it's appropriate because tonight our guest is going to be into martial arts and a consultant and all those things. But before I go there, I want everybody to thank you for listening in. This is our last show of the year of 2013, and we've got a couple more days left, and we had a brand new year. And with that being said, there's been a lot of things going on that we need to reflect and make changes and resolutions. But because of that, you know, I'd like to give a shout-out to someone that I've known for a long time, since in the 80s, my friend Manya Washington in South Carolina. Also a friend of mine since I was in elementary school, Warren McNeil, because he knew me when I was, like, wearing plaits, the real old-fashioned kind of plaits. Looked all jacked up, but, you know, I was a kid that didn't know any better. And I also want to say hello to a friend of mine, Philip Robertson, out of Florida. So with that being said, I want to introduce my co-host, Shalonda, and I want to tell you a little bit about my guest tonight. His name is Han Shi Naquan Murphy, And he was born in New York City, and he's one of three children. He's a middle child, so maybe it has something to do with him learning how to kick ass at an early age. And for y'all who don't know how I do it, my show is adults only, so if I use a cuss word or whatever, you know, get your kids out the room now. But we want to say hello to Shalonda, my co-host, first. Hi, Shalonda.
Hi, Miss Terry. How are you?
Fine, darling. It's good to see you here. How was your Christmas?
It was beautiful, long and beautiful.
Oh, wonderful,
stressful.
Wonderful. So now we're going to learn a lot about Han Chi, Naquan Murphy, and I want to welcome my guest at this time. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good evening, everybody. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. What does that Han Chi mean?
Well, Han Chi is my title in the martial arts. It's, I'm an 8th-degree black belt. And that's when higher echelon ranks. And it's basically professor is another translation for it, professors.
Oh, my. You said 8th-degree black belt, so you can really kick ass. Oh, my goodness. When I blow up, you'd be hitting my damn security. Lord have mercy.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible. We can talk.
Right. We could just train you in those guns.
Right. So would you want to be addressed as Han Chi or Naquan for this show?
Just call me Naquan. That's fine.
Okay. Naquan, let me ask you a question. Being a middle child, did that have anything to do with you getting into martial arts?
Actually, no, it didn't. Like a lot of people in that era that I got started in 1971. That's how long I've been training. And I got to say, it was Bruce Lee, like everybody else, the kids my age at the time, you know, watching Bruce Lee on TV. Like, I want to do that. But,
wow. Well, you know, everybody knows that New York City is rough, because I know one time I went to visit a relative of mine in New York, and we had some McDonald's empty food bags in the car, and I'd be damned they didn't break into the car, piss me off. So I'm kind of scared to go to New York, because everybody know if you don't live there, you a visitor, man, it's rough, it's hard. So I think that's wonderful that you got the martial arts, because ain't nobody going to be messing with you. But you said you did this in the 70s, so were you out of school by then, or you still in school?
No. I was 11 years old when I started taking martial arts.
Oh.
And I haven't stopped since.
Have you had any fights where you had to use it?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely come in handy. It's definitely, kept the wolves off my back a few times. Sure.
Oh, wow. I bet it did, baby. You know, so who were your teachers?
Well, my first instructor was Master Peter Torres, who's now deceased. But from him, I wound up, not long afterwards, I wound up with some gentlemen who are now titled Soke S. Papasan Kanti, Soke Hassan Khalik, and Soke Lassine Austin. And they're the ones that I've been with ever since, because they were doing things a little bit different than the traditional karate at the time, and which has evolved into the system that I am a senior instructor of, which is the Kuroshido system, which is in 2014 will celebrate its 40th year in existence.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, my co-host sitting over here with her hand up, you know, like, call me. You know, I understand you over there right beside me, but come on, chill out. It's your opportunity to ask Mr. Naquan a question. You know, she's like, come on.
Yes, hi. Hi, Mr. Murphy. How are you?
I'm great, Shalonda. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I know you said you was like 11 years old when you started, so by the time you got to high school, I know you were ready. You were ready. Anybody who wants to say something to me, well, how did you control that? I always think about putting my sons in. I have a little daughter that's like go hard. She's the hardest child in the family. She bullied everybody, but we were thinking about putting her in karate, but I don't want her to take that and use that as another force, since she's so rough already, you know, as I can dominate you because I know karate. So how did you control that in you when you've seen that, maybe you've seen somebody getting bullied and you're like, I can take them for real. They can't even fight, you know. How did you control that?
Well, you know what?
It's I would go around just beating up people.
It's interesting that you mentioned about how you are fearful of your own child. And I can remember my own father used to say, boy, don't let that stuff get you in trouble. So that was his thing. So I was more afraid of him than anything else.
Right.
So, but, you know, it's all about the right instructors and the discipline that comes out of them. Because, you know, the object is really simple. If you can do something and you know you can do it, you don't have to prove it to anybody.
That's true.
Amen. Amen. But you know
people
will
try.
I have never had that kind of training, you know, except when I was working for the Department of Corrections. And what I learned then, I don't remember now, but I'm from the old school, man. I get an alley apple, which is basically one of them red bricks. I'll bust upside your head.
That's right.
Listen,
I come from Baltimore.
Whatever works.
I come from Baltimore, and, you know, all you do is
hands on. It takes a lot of discipline to do what you're doing, you know, and stay with it, you know, and get your mind and body right. Because when you watch those shows on TV, it seems like, you know, it's all about concentration, like you can make your mind do whatever you wanted to do. But, you know, me growing up, you know, I didn't want nothing to happen to my face. You know, I had an older sister. Man, I started just, and when they said they're going to beat me up after school, I told the teacher, I got to go to the bathroom. And then I go to her class and said, they're going to beat me up. And they'd be kind of, she all hard and shit. But you go ahead and let you get all scratched. Not me, man. I was not feeling that. You know,
well,
my older sister was shorter than me. Dial 347-945-6003. And if you put dial number 1, I know your hand is up because we got a lot of questions and we got a couple of hours to learn more about Naquan. So with that being said, call in at 347-945-6003. And I want to say again, Happy New Year's for everybody that I know, all my Facebook friends, all my Twitter friends, all my LinkedIn, and all of my friends. There's so many to mention, so I can't mention them all. But, you know, I want to say a nice hello to a friend of mine in California, Mark Anthony Real. You know, love the guy. He is wonderful. But we're going to come back after this short little break and get your questions ready and dial 347-945-6003 and raise and press number 1 to raise your hand, and we're going to talk to Hanshi Naquan Murphy after the break.
You will leave. Oh, baby.
really took me back. You know how we had the blue lights in the basement, and when the guys had the arm all up around you, and y'all was calling yourself dipping and everything, being all fresh. That was a tune from way back from Brenda and the Tabulations, The Touch of You. Ooh, we, I like them. I'm just feeling, I'm just sitting here saying, yeah, give my little groove on. But it ain't about me tonight. It's about Han Shi Naquan Murphy. This brother, he's a martial arts and weaponry consultant to the stars. But right now we're going to get back to him and let me expound on what he said. He said that, you know, he was watching those Bruce Lee movies. I was too. That was the thing back in the day. So welcome back, Mr. Naquan Murphy.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes. Now, you told us on the last break who your teachers was, and currently, what is your title right now and what's your rank?
My title is Han Shi, or professor, and my rank is 8th degree black belt. I'm number 2 black belt in the Kuroshido system itself.
So how far up in the ranks did the black belt go? I don't know.
Well, 10th degree. Most normal martial arts systems, the 10th degree is usually the highest.
Wow, and you 8th degree? Oh, baby, you bad to the bone. Shit, baby.
Yeah.
I'm liking that, yeah. So how many years did it take to go from square one to where you're at today?
No, I've been doing this 43 years.
Wow, man, 23 years. I'm impressed with that.
43
years?
Yeah, 43.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. So how old are you if you've been doing it that long?
Oh, I'm 17.
Oh, you
right,
started
right.
at 17?
Yeah, I'm 17.
Oh, you said
I'm
you
17.
Are?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Then I know I'm 18. Hello.
No, actually, I'm 54 years old.
Mm. Oh, wow, that's young. That's considered young. Are you married?
Easy. Easy.
Man, because, you know, I don't care what nobody say. You know, I'm a single woman. It's
right.
good to have a man that you, when you go out on a date and shit, and somebody got to get their little ass whipped or somebody step out of order that he can
that's
handle
right.
it. I'm sick and tired of having these guys you go with, you know, somebody say something to him, and he's going to come out hard. He acting like, well, okay, man, forget, you know, I got to defend her, damn, man. That really pisses me off. But, you know, I'm a ride or die dick, man. If we out, you know, somebody steps to him and he don't do nothing, you know, I'll handle it. But when I get him back to the crib, well, we through.
You go.
What you think, Shalonda?
You got to go. Got to go.
Oh, pal.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, I guess, because I'm a little old school in that, you know, you're supposed to defend, you know, your lady, that's for sure.
Exactly, you know. Now, you know, Shalonda had asked you earlier about how do you control not acting out because you know you have the skill. You know how sometimes, even with family, you go around family members around the holiday, like right now, and some people might get to drinking or start talking crap. You know, trash. How do you control reflex to beat somebody up?
Chop them to the neck.
You know what? It's like I said. Honestly, it's so easy because you know I look at people who get out of control, and I actually in my professional life also I've had to handle people like that, and you know they get what they put into it. I mean, and if you know the right things to do, it's so simple. The simplest touch. You know, will bring somebody back to reality. You know, you don't have to do a whole lot. You know, and it's
okay.
all about what you know and how you do it. Now, you get those people because I don't get any. It doesn't make me any better or any a bigger person if I just beat somebody down for the sake of beating them down because I can do it. That diminishes from the quality of what I am. So,
exactly.
I'll talk to somebody in a minute. Now, if they cross a certain line. Well, then, you know, you make the punishment, take the crime. But I'll be
someone.
You know.
But you remember back in the day, those Star Trek movies where the guy, Mr. Spock, the one with the funny little ears, on that show, he used to grab somebody by right on top of their shoulder or something.
Yeah, by the collarbone.
Ask somebody,
my uncle
yo,
used to
you know,
do that.
Is that a spot that you can just grab somebody over top of the, you know,
oh, yeah.
the shoulder going towards the neck and you can make somebody fall to their knees?
Well, let me put you like this. There is a series of techniques called a Timiwaza, which is pressure points. And, yeah, I know pressure points, and a lot of quality martial artists do know pressure points. And they can be very effective, very effective.
Okay, well, what
I know
kind
my
of
uncle used to pinch us
like,
in the neck.
Huh?
Yeah,
my uncle
had
used
the neck. I want to find that shit, man.
No,
I want to see if it worked. You know, when we were small, people used to say they were going to put you to sleep. They would grab you around from your back and hold you real tight and pull you up. My cousin, that happened to him. He fell out. My cousin Virgil broke his jaw, and he had his mouth wide, and he was sucking through a straw that cream of wheat for a long time. So, you know, I know about that, but oh, my goodness.
Well, that's the difference between someone, you know, and that's the trouble with a lot of things in terms of, like, martial arts or boxing or anything else. You get people who don't know any better, and they want to try something because they saw it somewhere else without any kind of training, and then stuff like that happens, like what happened to your cousin, you know.
Wow,
you know what to do. I mean, I've, you know, used it, you know, where just my finger's in the right spot, and all of a sudden everything stopped, you know, because you learn about the different, you know, the nerves that run through the body. You learn what controls what. It's like if you think about acupuncture or acupressure, or which is like shiatsu, you touch certain spots and certain things happen. And that's one of the things that you learn.
That's true.
Okay, well,
I remember when we were young, my uncle has been a correctional officer since as far back as I can remember, and I'm 41. And he would hit you on your collarbone, like around in your collarbone, and you just stop right there. You wouldn't have nothing else to say. You wouldn't act up anymore or anything. You just knew that when Uncle Jerry touched you right there, everything in the world was going to stop.
There you go.
Because everybody learns stuff growing up. Now, I used to be a paramedic, and I learned that, you know, your carotid, I mean, not your carotid, your throat. You know, if you take your little finger and press on your throat, you'll see that collagen is very fragile. So if I get into a fight, you know, if you can't talk to me first and you're going to come at me like you're going to try to whip my ass, I'm going to go straight street. I'm going to take my fist, throw it up, and I'm going for your throat because I'm going to cut off your air supply. I'm going to have your ass on the floor trying to get some air because I, you know, I ain't trying to run, you know. So we all learn some little tricks of the trade. But, you know, I like this thing, martial arts, because it's control. Because, you know, with me, it's just impulse. You know, you come at me, I'm coming at you. Whatever I got to use, you know, whether I'm going to hit you in your collarbone or I'm going to bust you up in your throat. If I got a bottle or a brick, I'm coming because I ain't trying to go out like a punk. But I'm going to get back on track.
You know, listen, the whole thing is this, you know, if you get anything you do that's formalized, it becomes a reaction, it becomes a something that you practice, it becomes second nature to you, where you will react and you do things in a controlled manner, and you don't even think about it. It just happens, but it happens in a way where you know what you did, the person who you did it on knows what you did, and everybody else around you, they think, what just happened? Which is fine.
Wow.
So,
well, does that help
you
in your personal life? Because I was going to ask you, how has martial arts helped you? But I was thinking, with all that training, I guess it has to be some kind of control mentally, you know, so you don't act out. Does that help you in your personal relationships with other people? Because where other people get excited, you will be calm, because that's all part of being trained in the martial arts.
Well, honestly, yeah. I mean, listen, I've been in, you know, any kind of situation where I've, you know, people in general, where it would be work or whatever, you get into heated discussions and arguments and things like that, you know, that's fine. But it never goes to a point where it's like, you know, it gets violent with me. And like I said, unless I feel threatened, like there's an attack, imminent attack. But other than that, you know, yeah, I'll sit there and I'll laugh at somebody in a minute. I'll laugh in a minute, you know, and it's like they'll go to the next level, and I'll just sit there and laugh at them because all you're doing is expending your energy. You're not doing anything but doing that, and I'm sitting there just, okay, go right ahead, you know.
Okay. I got a question. I was just thinking, you know how people think that these muscle men, because they got all these muscles and they're strong, that's more important. Now, I don't know if martial arts make you a buff person or not, but is that more of a physical thing? Who do you think would win if a person that was into martial arts opposed to a muscle man? Because I kind of like lean towards martial arts because there are some things you could do where they just got the strength to lift you up. You know, they don't have the skill to, you know, do no slick moves or nothing.
That's, you know what, that's almost, you hit the nail almost on the head, because, you know, let's think about anything. Brute force versus knowledge and technique. You know, whereas you ever work on a car, you know, you have seen anybody working on a car and they're having trouble adjusting something with a wrench, and then somebody who has the knowledge comes and just touches one small thing and all of a sudden everything works fine. You know, it's a matter of knowledge. So, yeah, you can come at me like a raging bull all you want, but if I sidestep you and I let you expel all your energy, and that's what a lot of the martial arts, especially like one of the arts that I'm involved in, which is Aiki Jiu-Jitsu, it's a matter of balance. It's a matter of balance and leverage. So you use the person's own strength, their own balance, you know, to leverage their movement. And so you're expelling very little energy, whereas they may be expelling a whole lot. So,
wow.
You know, again, it's all about technique.
I'm learning. Well, I want to tell all the listeners out there, if you want to ask a question from Hanshi Naquan Murphy, you need to call in at 347-945-6003 and press the 1 key. That way your hand will be raised, and I know that you want to ask him a question. Wow, I got so many questions I still would like to ask you, but I'm going to take a real quick break so y'all can get you some water, because I see you sweating under the lights, you know. And we're going to be right back in 1 minute.
Do me wrong, do me right, tell me lies. Your goodbyes for the morning light, but don't let me be lonely tonight. Say goodbye and say hello. Sure been good to see you, and it's time to go. I don't want to be lonely tonight. Go away then, damn you. Go on and do as you please. Darling, you ain't gonna see me looking down on my knees. I'm undecided, yes, and your heart's been divided. You've been turning my world upside down, you know. So do me wrong, but do me right, right now, baby. Go on and tell me lies, oh, before me die. Don't let me be lonely tonight. I don't want to go. Please don't let me be lonely. I don't want to be lonely
tonight. Tune from way back in the day by James Taylor, Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight. We have today with us my guest, Hanshi Naquan Murphy. He is a martial arts and weaponry consultant. This brother is an eighth degree black belt, and they only go as high as 10 degree. Hell, if I had got 1 degree, my little black ass would have been happy. But, you know, it is what it is. But but anyway, we have a caller on the line whose last digits are 3290 that wants to ask a question of our guest. So I'm going to put him in. Hello, guest. Are you there? Caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Would you like to ask a question of my guest?
Yes. First, I'd like to say thank you for your wonderful book you put out, and hope you have a blessed holiday. And you know, I've been knowing you for a while. You're so inspirational to me. You know, I just hope you have a blessed and prosperous year. And
thank you so very much. I recognize your voice. That must be Philip. How are you, Philip?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Well, thank you, brother. Well, anyway, I do have a lot of books out, and my personal website is www.terrylyle.com. I go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or Kindle, whatever, but all of my books are about real talk. You know, I think I'm going to have to put this episode in one of my future books. But, caller, you had a question for our guest, Hanshi Naquan Murphy. What next your question, sir?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, your dedication, your meek and humble attitude, it's an inspiration to me, because I knew you for a while, and I don't know how you can keep calm through all the adversity you go through, but it must be gift from God, because you are definitely the man I thought you would be. You know, I'm so proud of you, and it's proud to know you, and I just say, Thank you.
Wonderful. But, Philip, I thought you had a question from the caller.
Yeah, I do have a question. How do you stay so calm when I know you go, people want to challenge you all the time, because I know you've been a bodyguard, all that and other stuff. You know? How do you keep so calm when people want to come at you?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I kind of follow the Bugs Bunny rule. Now, you're saying, what the Bugs Bunny rule? Well, Bugs Bunny in one of his cartoons said, I'll be afraid later, but right now I'm mad. So, my point is this.
I like that.
One of the things that my martial arts also taught me was how to meditate. Meditation is very important. So, and that was a way... As you progress, you learn different ways to kind of channel that energy out and just to stay focused. And it kind of has gone, it's been a metamorphosis, if you will, from one stage in my life to the next. And the longer I've done it, the more I've done it, the calmer I've been. And I just, you know, because as the old saying goes, you know, cooler heads will prevail, and I believe that. So, but if
all
you're
right
kinda,
now,
you know, especially if you're going to go into harm's way or anything else, if you panic, then you know it's not going to work out for you. But if you keep a calm head, then you can actually see and focus, and you'd be surprised what you can see if you do that and be able to conquer whatever the challenges are, or at least come out of it in a way that you know. You're not really harmed.
Well, that's wonderful, Mr. Murphy. But we got another caller, a number ending 0686 with their hand up, and I'm going to bring that caller on. Caller, are you there?
I most definitely am. Good evening, Terry Lyle.
How are you? Oh, I recognize that voice. That's Miss Delicious. And guys out there listening, I say delicious, I mean delicious, yummy, yummy, yummy.
Hey, Shalandra and Naquan, how you guys doing this evening?
Good, Michelle,
thank
you.
I would like to know, Naquan, what advice would you give as far as women who want to get involved in this? What do you do, Taekwondo?
No. I do aikido, jiu-jitsu, and karate.
Okay. What type of suggestion would you give women who want to get involved in this type of defense?
I think it's one of the best things that a woman can do. Unfortunately, there are some women who don't have faith in their own strength and ability, and they look at man versus woman and strength. And I'm going to tell you something. I told a lot of my female students, I said, you know what? You're stronger than a man. You know, maybe your body may seem weaker, but I'm going to tell you right now, I can't have no babies. That'll hurt. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And women go through a lot of pain in their lives. So they know strength. It's a mental thing. That's all it is. It's a mental thing. And one of our best and first female black folks of Kuroshido system, let me give you a perfect example of this young lady. Her name is Maitora, Dina Maitora Johnson. And she is actually an ordained minister now. I mean, she's older and an ordained minister. And she's a, she has a PhD in divinity. Now, I remember this young lady when she was younger, when she started out. I remember an incident where she's a short person. She tripped over her feet coming into the school the first time. That's how clumsy she was. Now, she's like 5'2", somewhere in that area, and a guy accosted her when she was a teenager. And she actually punched this guy in his nose, broke his nose.
Wow. Go on, girl.
And then said, "Ooh, I'm sorry," because that's the kind of person she is, you know.
She reacted
to the attack, and then, you know, but because she's such a sweet person, you know, it was like, "Ooh," I was like, but my point is this, that, you know, it didn't take away from her and her demeanor as a person, but at the same time, you better watch out if you put your hands on her. Women, I wholeheartedly believe they should, you know, because one of the things that has always bothered me is whenever I hear about, you know, women being abused, whether it be physically or mentally, you know, and it's so easy for them to retake that, you know, retake their esteem back and their strength. And martial arts is a very good way to do it. So I would say find you a good school. Don't just go into one because you see a sign and it looks good and they're offering a good deal. Go sit.
Right.
Look at it. Sit and watch the class. See what they're teaching. See what the instructor is saying about certain things. And then actually interview them. Ask them a question. Ask them how would they teach you and get you to a certain level. You know, because unfortunately, like anything, you got shammers and everything. You got people who just want to, you know, get you under a contract and get the money. But if you watch the class, you'll see the quality of what's being handled. And you'll be able to, make a decision, an informed decision. That's what you should do. You know, definitely go do that.
Oh, let me ask you another question. Now, do your hands have to be registered or no?
No, that's one of them old things from back in the day they used to talk about. My hands aren't registered nowhere. No.
Well, is that true? Was that ever true? Or is that something they use for movies?
Certain countries and even some states will require certain things like that. It's not like a blanket thing, but certain countries definitely will require that. I mean, because it is a fighting art, like boxing, for example. You have to get a license to box professionally. So you're registered, definitely. You know, martial artists, I mean, you're certified. You have a true martial artist certified, and he has certifications from reputable schools and places that, you know, you're public and you're out there. So it's not, you know, necessarily one of those things. Because at the same time, you may have somebody who goes out and gets themselves registered, as you will, and really, you know, they don't know anything. They are that person who's like what we used to call a dojo black belt, someone who looks good walking around the school, but if you slap them in the street, they forget everything.
Wow.
So, you know, you just made yourself a target for what? You know, so, you know, it's one of those things that it can be a catch-22, or it's one of those things that, you know, I mean, it's more about ego than anything else. I just, it's not necessary.
Okay, so if I take up, I'm sorry, what's the fighting you teach?
Oh, Kuroshido, sister. Kuroshido. Karate Aikido.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Kuroshido. Is it guaranteed that I can beat up a man?
That depends on you.
I can beat up a man now.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm up in the bedroom, shit.
Easy.
Oh, get to
I am, you know what? I just would like to get in the ring with some of these abused men, these men who abuse women, mm-hmm. and just beat them up and let them see how it feels to, you know, punch on a woman and, you know, just, and some of these men really beat women down. And I would like to be the woman to have them in the ring and just beat them down.
Most of them already been beat down. That's why they do it to other people.
But you know what? And most of them are cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing. They're cowards because they feel like you already started out, you know, and we started talking about this. You get some guys who, you know, women already perceive some men that are stronger and, you know, definitely they were more intimidated by them. But if that woman stands up and that woman comes at that man, you'd be surprised. You know, the thing is this. Here's one of the things about my system and the way we've always taught our students. We don't separate our classes. When I say we don't separate our classes, we don't separate children from women. Okay? Everybody, whatever rank level they are, no matter how old they are, they all train in the same on the mat at the same time. And the reason for that is really simple. Because who's going to attack a child? Another child their size? No. It's going to be an adult. So if they can handle an adult in the class, and they know, and they have that, that's a part of that confidence building. And if they know that they can take down a grown man or a grown woman in the school in a controlled environment, then, of course, they'll have a lot more confidence when it comes to being attacked in the street. Just like a woman working out with a man. If she can see that she can take him down with the techniques that she learned in the dojo in that controlled environment, and she builds that confidence, and guess what? When it comes to that street, there she go. So it's, you know, and that's part of a good martial arts school. It's going to not give you any false hope, but it's going to give you confidence and a self-awareness, you know, because, yeah, you may not be able to come up to me and punch me in the face and knock me down, but mm-hmm. you may be able to hit me in another spot on my body, leg, arm, or something like that, and take my balance away from me and take me down, then you can do whatever else you want to do after that. So it just, you know, that's what it's about when you learn these techniques. You learn where to go, how to do it, how it affects the body. It's about the body dynamics. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'll be honest. We have this thing we should call women techniques that, you know, they're like quick, short, little techniques, you know, that a woman can use right away. And I'm going to be honest. I like using those myself because I'm
hold on to that thought because we want you to tell us about that after the break. But we see the caller that N3290 has his hand up again. Philip, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
But did you have a question for Mr. Naquan Murphy?
Oh, yes. I was saying because the movie teaches. Can anybody learn the moves that he teaches?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can anybody learn? Is there an age restriction of being able to do the martial arts that you teach?
What I usually like is at least 4 to 5 years old. And the reason why I say 4 to 5 years old, because usually those children are in some type of structured environment like a daycare where they're around other people, other kids, so they won't be so intimidated when they see like a group of people. And I'll take them. I'll give you a perfect example. We just promoted this year a gentleman to the rank of first degree black belt. And he's 58 years old.
Wow, all right now.
We had another gentleman that got on the mat for the first time, and when he was 47 years old, and now he's 71, and he's a six-degree black belt. So, it's about the desire, it's about the heart, it's about what you want out of it. And don't get me wrong, these same guys had to go through the same punishment that an 18-year-old had to go through to get to a black belt. So, it's not about the age, it's about your heart and desire.
Well, I know something, you know, anybody who want to call in and ask some questions of Mr. Han Shi Naquan Murphy, you need to call in 347-945-6003 and press number 1. I'll see your hand raised. I'll get you back. But you know something, before we go to a break, you know, it would be nice to have somebody like you as my friend, because a lot of times, you know, by you living in New York, to me personally, I'm from in Alabama, I'm kind of scared of the big city because it's just busy. And it'd be good to have a friend like you when I'm going places, because I know you got my back and you ain't going to run like a little girl, you know, boogie, boogie, boogie down the
street. No, I won't do that.
You know,
that won't look good.
That wouldn't look good at all, so I would be glad to have you as my friend. But we're going to take a small break, and everybody go get some refreshments, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Carry on when I
Wow, that was You Are My Friend by Patti LaBelle. What a wonderful song, and how timely, because this is our last show for the year 2013, and things will never be the same. You know, if you got people out there that has come into your life for a season or a reason, it's time to reach out and tell them how much you care about them. And, you know, because once 2014 come here, things will never be the same as it is today, you know. And we got to be conscious of how we act, because if we was nasty in 2013, it's time to clean up your act. You know, we got on the show tonight my co-host, Shalonda, and our guest, Hanshi Naquan Murphy. He's going to tell us a little bit about martial arts, and we're going to get into the part where he works behind the scenes as a consultant for the Hollywood stars and the shows he's been doing and whatever. But my co-host, Shalonda, I've been running my mouth so much I haven't given her a chance to ask some questions that she has. So, Shalonda, darling, you got the opportunity to ask whatever you want to ask.
That's mainly what I wanted to ask about, the training to the stars. On what sets, what stars have you worked with, and who did you find to be the most difficult star to work with?
Well, I've worked with a few different ones. Some of them, for different reasons, actually. Someone that I currently work with a lot is the actor Timok from The Last Dragon fame.
Mm-hmm.
He and I work quite a bit. I do a lot of behind, you know, scenes, you know, as a technical advisor for him in a current movie that he's working on. I've worked on a movie called Summertime, directed by Max Weisberg, who did the movie Gramercy Park. You know, I trained his actors in using firearms on the set. And I was, because part of my training is also is firearms and as an armorer. And an armorer, for lack of a better term, I'm a gunsmith, but also for when it comes to the TV and movies in that industry, you have to have one on the set whenever any kind of firearm prop is being used, or any kind of weapon prop is being used. Another movie, there's a lot of things that are like current things that are going on. So unfortunately, some things that I've worked with, because of confidentiality clauses, I can't even talk about, because either it's not out yet, and that's one of the things that, you know, when I work with someone, like, things don't get posted or things don't get out there until it's actually ready for them to put it out there. And so I have to kind of be conscious of that, so I try not to, you know, talk about too much. But the ones that you might see, I have a website, and you can actually see movie clips and actually, and things that are those things that are out there now or being put out there. So you can actually see that. But I've consulted, you know, on quite a few things in the last few years, couple of years. I've worked with some actors privately to get them to the point where they looked proper on stage or on or actually in a movie. I've worked with, I've done fight choreography for a few projects. I've worked a lot with some independent movies, because I definitely am a fan of that, of people who work independently, because, you know what, everybody needs a start. And
right.
If I can help out, then I'll do that, you know.
I have a serious question. I know we've been doing a lot of joking, but I have a serious question. Since you do handle a lot of weaponry, how do you feel about the gun control laws that are going into effect across the country?
Well, what the worst part about that is, it's a knee-jerk reaction. We do need laws. I have no problem with having laws. I have no problem whatsoever. But what I have a problem with is that when they come out with a law, perfect example, let's talk about the Sandy Hook incident in New York State, where I live at. The governor right away made this law, bam, and started, you know, saying, no to this, we don't have this, we shouldn't have this, we shouldn't have that. Now, let's face it, let's be honest. The people who are criminals, do they care about laws? No.
Exactly.
Hell no.
The laws are only going to affect the people who are law-abiding. you know. So the criminal is still going to do what the criminal does, and a law-abiding citizen is going to be the one that's going to suffer from it. You know, one of the things I do think that anybody who gets involved in firearms, they definitely should get some kind of training, and they should get some good training. That, I think, is very important.
Wow. Well, I got a question. From the martial arts to being a consultant, so did you retire from doing that or learning it, or were you, after you learned and got to a certain degree, did you start teaching? How did you make the transition?
Well, you know what? It was one of those things that one kind of complemented the other. Martial arts is where I started, and that got me into teaching or instructing at a young age and giving that knowledge. So I transitioned from, you know, starting out what I did in the martial arts, and I went into law enforcement. And I'm retired from that now 5.5 years. But what I did while on the job in law enforcement was I was an instructor. I became a what's called a weapons training officer for the New York State Department of Correctional Services. And the Division of Criminal Justice and the Municipal Police Training Council. And I, you know, did that, 20-some-odd years as an instructor. And my last 8 years, I was actually the lead instructor for the New York City region or the southern tier of the state of New York. So,
oh, wow. Kinda,
you know, so, I mean, I have a lot of extensive knowledge in it. And what I'm like a lot of people, and, you know, I'm no different from anybody else. And if I see something on television, that's how I got into this whole thing with TV and so forth. It was kind of luck, and it was also a lot of, you know, passion and work towards it. But you know, I will say there's some luck, and definitely some luck involved. But what I used to do here, I'm looking at a television show, and I'll see a cop show, let's say, and they're carrying a gun a particular way or they're handling it a particular way, and I'll say, that's not how you do that, you know. And, you know, enough of my friends, I was like the worst guy to ever go see a movie with. I used to do that with the martial art movies, like when you see people flying through the air, you know, or doing some kind of crazy technique, and I'm like, that won't work, you know, and because I'm a realist. I want to see things that show me something that looks real, you know, that I can believe. And that's kind of how I transitioned into this whole thing, because I got challenged one day. A friend of mine said, okay, you don't like it? Do something about it. Show them the right way. And I said,
those sound
what?
Like fighting words to me.
Yeah.
Why not?
Wow.
I love a challenge. You know, tax my mind. I love it. And since I was already an instructor, it's like a no-brainer. And that's kind of how I got into it, started getting into it. I actually was working for a range in New York City, and a television show was being filmed there. And they needed an armorer on the set, and there I was. And then I helped out the production. And that was like my first break-in into it. And
well, let me ask you a question about that. You know, so you've said that every time a person does a movie that, excuse me, there goes my cheese, that you have weapons and everything, you need to have someone there who is proficient in how to use them or as a consultant or trainer.
Mm-hmm.
How did they pick you? How did you luck up and get to be with the people like Wesley Snipes and all these other actors that I've seen pictures of you being with on your website? How did you get lucky for them to pick you as a person on the set as an armorer or whatever position you called that?
Well, you know what? A lot of it has come through word of mouth. I will say that. Because of, like, people in the martial arts who I have connected with who are in that world, you know, I've worked with them, helping them out, and then they would actually, you know, when people would see their work and they'd say, well, who taught you that or whatever, or they would just say, or somebody said, you know somebody, and they'll go, here's this guy. You need to talk to him. You know, and usually what it is that I don't go in there, and what's helped me out is I don't go in there telling people, okay, you got to do it this way. You know, I'm not there to offend anybody because I understand that there are certain kind of licenses that has to be taken in terms of making a movie, and you want it to be appealing to the public, so you may have to do something that's a little abstract. I get that. So, but what I'll do is I'll look at the script, I'll talk to the director, and they'll tell me what they want or what they're looking for, and if it sounds credible, I'll tweak it for them and give them a suggestion, and usually they're like, wow, that does sound, and then I'll show it to them, and then it usually works out. I've done that, you know, a couple times in different productions, and but yeah, I have a, you know, I have a resume that's set up. I do send it out. I do reach out and contact different networks. If I see a show and I see something on it, I've actually, you know, put it out there. I've actually emailed them and will reference a particular thing and just kind of like put my name out there and let them know, okay, there's somebody that's watching that seems like they know what they're doing. Now,
okay,
let's
well,
talk about
Nicole, you just said that, you know, when you see a movie set or whatever is coming out there, you just contact them. Well, that other lady that was on the line, Miss Delicia, she's also an actress. Now, answer this question. How do you get the person, that inside man, to even talk to him or solicit your you know, skills or whatever? How do you know where to go?
It's really, it's not as hard as you think, because one thing I you know, and I guess my law enforcement kind of helped me with this, I do a lot of, I don't have a problem researching and talking to people and actually trying to find out things. I was fortunate enough to have met a few people who were directors and so forth. But if you actually, you know, you can find how to contact these people, it's really easy, and just put it out there. I'll email them. I'll send them my card. I'll send them a link to my website. And fortunately enough, because of one of the other aspects of things that I do, which is executive protection, I get the chance to meet a lot of celebrities. I get to be in a lot of places with not only celebrities but dignitaries, and I just have a conversation.
Well, you know something, that's good, because maybe we need to talk after the show is over, because you tell me how to get my little business card into the right people, because a couple of my books that are novels, maybe they can turn into a movie itself, you know, and if I blow up, man, you know, I know who I want on my security team. But anybody who want to call in and talk to Naquan Murphy, call at 347-945-6003. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the TV and movie industry. And we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back in 2 and 2.
Keep breaking your woman's heart. It's a thin line between love and hate. and to sit back and enjoy it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Between love and hate, she gon' fool you one day. The sweetest woman in the world could be the meanest woman in the world
if you make her that way.
You keep her, she keep being quiet. She might be holding something inside that'll really, really hurt you one day. Here I am laid in the hospital, bandaged from feet to head, in a state of shock, just that much from being dead. I didn't think a woman would do something like this to me. My girl had a nerve. Here I am. I guess action speaks louder than words.
It's a thin line between love and hate.
Don't think you can keep treating your woman.
That's a thin line between love and hate, the persuaders. And I guess this female, she knew a little karate or something, because she put that sucker in the hospital. But we are back with our special guest, Hun C, Naquan Murphy, and my co-host, Shalonda. And we see a few callers on the line, and I see 0686. Miss Delicious, have a hand up. She want to ask a question. Miss Delicious, how are you, darling?
I am fantastic. I understand that you were in, I don't know if I got this right because I was doing a few things, but we're getting ready to talk about the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in karate movies or what?
No, I have never been in a martial art movie, but I have worked with other actors who have. For example, I mentioned Timok from the movie Last Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
But I have also done fight choreographies for other movies. Like the last one I did one for, which ended wrapped about, still going through its editing stage, was called The Moment.
Mm-hmm.
On the New Moon Films, where there was a street fight scene where a guy got beat up, and the star was J. Parker Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually choreographed the fight scene, there, as well as what weapons were used in the movie itself.
Has anyone ever, in a fight scene that you choreograph, has anyone ever actually gotten hurt, while doing them? Because I know sometimes, you may accidentally kick somebody the wrong way, or has that ever happened?
No. Luckily, knock on wood, no, it hasn't. But, the one thing that, unfortunately that, you have to worry about when you're dealing with people who are novice, if you will, like some actors, they're not into anything physical like that. So their control level will be a little off. So, but when you work with them, you give them tools, you give them cues, you give them ways of being able to avoid doing something. And actually, that's why you work with them, constantly. You don't just say
mm-hmm.
for 5 minutes, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then say, okay, go do it. You have to actually prep and work with them beforehand and get them comfortable with what they're doing, sort of like a dance choreography, if you will, like anything else. And that's where you approach it. It's like, okay, this is rehearsal. This is your scene. This is what we have to do. This is what you have to, maintain this kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
And, they, for the most part, they get it. It's been pretty good.
Okay.
Wow, that's interesting. Shalonda,
yes,
darling,
is.
You have a question
yes.
for Hun C. Naquan Murphy?
Yes.
See your hands
armorer,
up.
As an armorer,
yes.
So when we're watching these movies and we see all these weapons, are all these weapons real weapons?
No, they're not.
Okay.
No, they're not. They look real.
You, man.
That's
you know,
the object.
They
look
it
real, but they're not. Well, you know what? Here's an interesting thing. I'm glad you asked that question. There was how that whole armor thing really, I mean, they've kind of existed for a long time, but it's never been an issue where it's been mandated before. And one of the reasons for that was, if you remember, there was a movie, The Crow, with Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son. Yeah, he died.
I remember
died
that.
On that set in the 90s. He actually died on that set
right.
from a blank. He was between takes. He was He was playing with the prop gun, which was loaded with blanks, and he's playing like a Russian roulette thing, and he actually shoots himself in the head. Now people think blanks can't harm you. Well, it does have gunpowder. It does at a certain distance they can harm you. You know, and what happened was he became brain dead. So from that point on, it's been dictated that you will have someone who will control those weapons on that set so nobody gets hurt. And that's how the whole armor thing became, you know, very prominent in productions whenever there's any kind of weapons. And I mean any kind of weapons, whether it be a knife, whether it be, a firearm, sword, spear. You have to have an armor on set to handle those weapons, and that's definitely for insurance purposes and for safety reasons. So,
Naquan, I got a question. Okay, the armorer that's on the set, so you're proficient in handling swords, guns, those machine guns, the one that rapid fire, so you know how to do all of that as well as the martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Billy Club and everything.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. Other than being a consultant and they call that an armorer or somebody who keep it safe or whatever, do you do bodyguard as part of your overall,
yes.
you know,
yeah,
job skills? Are you keep a bodyguard as well as do
yes.
what you do?
I actually train security. I train security. I actually train armed and unarmed security. I actually do perform duties as an executive protection, where I've done dignitaries, I've done clergymen, and even some, celebrities. Definitely.
So you like that movie with Whitney Houston and the guy who did Bodyguard.
Yeah, exactly. That's me.
Oh, man, you bad to the damn bone because, ooh, that was a good movie. He's so sexy. Mm-hmm. I just loved it, man. And just
standing
there all strong in the background. Baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting off the track, but ooh, I just love that movie.
Yeah.
Well, let me just ask you this.
That too.
What level of security service do you provide?
Well, I do corporate. I do, like I said, I do celebrity. I'm not a fan of, but I will definitely do entertainers and stuff like that, but sometimes that can be a little crazy. I love corporate security. I actually work for one of the top three auction houses in the world, so I'm not going to mention the name, but I do their high-end transports for some of their, products that they're auctioning, and I mean very high-end. And I'm the guy they call, I'll transport it and make sure it gets there safely. That's one of the things that I do.
They will get merchandise, and you like the armored cars for the banks. You would be in there
to guard the
merchandise at the auction house?
Let's give you an example. Like when they have to move a collection of Renoir paintings, I'm the guy they call. When they have to move a collection of rare coins, I'm the guy that you call. I'm one of the people, I'm with a group, of course, PPI out of California, but I'm one of their, one of their consultants, and they call me, and I go, and I do.
Oh, wow.
I travel, they send me around, whatever has to go.
Oh, if they need you, they pay for your airfare and hotel to send you there?
Mm-hmm.
And you must be bad to the bone. I like that. I mean, that's wonderful. Okay, but when did you get yourself started into the movie and TV business?
Actually, kind of my first step into that was around 2005. And it was before I retired. And that got me my first little taste. And I said, you know what? I can do this. That's just... And then I started kind of formulating a plan. When I say a plan, I formulated a structure of what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. I started actually even started buying my own equipment because production costs, especially for independents, and that's where I kind of started. I got, like I said, I had a major TV show, but then I went into a some independent movies and production costs, and that was one of the things that helped me get going because I came with my own equipment. Whereas if you rent a blank firing gun and then you rent the blanks that, you know, they actually shoot, that's an expense. And those things are kind of expensive. So what I did is I bought my own stuff. I bought my own stuff. So part of my package has been, okay, I have this. They tell me they need to, oh, I have that. And they go, oh, really? Yeah. And
so
you
got a lot of weapons around the house then. I pity the fool would try to break into your house.
I have a big
something.
Safe and a mean cat.
I know that's right. Anybody else who would like to talk to Hunsi Naquan Murphy, just call in at 347-945-6003. Now, I see that Philip on the 3290 number, he has his hand up again. He want to ask a question. So, caller 3290, what's your question? Hello, are you there, Philip? Well, he had his hand up. He must have put it back down. But anyway, that's just amazing. I would like to ask you about what do you do in the industry?
Well, I actually like working behind the scenes. I actually like doing just what I do in training. I'll train an individual actor before he even goes to it. Like if an actor says to me, okay, listen, I got a movie pending, and I need to learn how to do this. Okay. So, and I'll set up sessions with that actor to help them do that. I'll also, if a production or, you know, director or somebody says, okay, I need someone, you know, who can help me structure this scene, I'll do that, you know, because if
well,
they
can
want
you give
to,
us some little
help.
Quick, you can share with us how women today, even men, how can we be safe? Because we're starting a brand new year, and I'm sure a lot of us are not, you know, astute in the field of martial arts. But are there any little things we can do if we might be getting accosted, you know, while we're out and about? Anything suggest a safety for us when we are, you know, moving about?
First and foremost, pay attention to your surroundings. Because I can't count the number of times when I see people crossing the street, texting, walking down the street with their iPhones, their iPods and everything in their ears, and they're just oblivious to what's going on around them. That is, to me, one of the worst things that you can do, you know.
Right.
You got to be aware. I mean, I'm not talking about being paranoid and turning your head 360 and all that stuff. Just be conscious of what's around you. That's the first step. Be conscious of what's – and believe it or not, anybody who's going to do you harm, they usually are going to give you a cue. They're going to give you a cue. One of the things that a lot of people seem to – I noticed this, people don't make eye contact.
Right.
They look down. That's true. They look down on the ground.
Yeah. They don't make eye contact. I have no problem with all I know. If I hear steps behind me, I'm going to turn around and look you dead in the face and just give a good look. Because I want to see everything about you, and then I'll turn around and go on about my business. And it's really just sometimes just that simple. You know, if you see someone acting a certain way, if you can take yourself out of that area, like let's say you're walking on a street and you see argument or a fight or something going on, cross the street. What's the problem with that? You know?
Ain't that the trouble? Run, do something.
But you know what?
Like,
it's
stand
funny.
There.
People want to start rubbernecking and seeing, ooh, what's going on? And you might be that collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
When
just like now
you go
they
over
have. Right, just like now they have that knockout game, and people think, well, I'm just gonna walk down the street, and if I'm minding my own business, then people will leave me alone, and that's not the case anymore. These little kids really slam knocking you out these days, and all you need is for your head to hit that concrete first.
That's it.
And you know, screwed your whole life up where you could have just crossed the street or something, but everybody want to go hard, as they say, and just keep walking. No, that's okay. I'll go across the street because
you know,
I know
it,
me as a person. I don't have the patience for society today.
Now, I mean, and you hit one of the nail right on the head. I mean, what's the problem? I mean, what they really have nothing. There's no social skills. People have
no social skills whatsoever.
And what's the problem? Why do you have to go and knock somebody? What is that going to prove? Because
right.
one of these people, and I think it's happened already, where somebody went to knock somebody out and they didn't work out too well for them.
Yeah, they shot
them. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Yep, a child. They shot the child. Teenage boy.
I mean,
sure
now,
they shot.
Here's something interesting what you just said. They shot the child. Now, he was a child by age, but was he a child by his actions?
Exactly.
You know, so that's something that we, you know, again, it's a society thing. We really have to look at some of the stuff that's going on. And, you know, you'll have, and listen, nobody should lose their life whatsoever. You know, I'm not like, you know, go out and kill people. No, don't do that. But the point is this, that, you know, you still have to protect yourself. You still have to be able to, you know, be conscious of what's going on around you. To do that, you know, it's really a simple thing. And I don't argue with people. Somebody wants to argue. If a guy wants to cut me off, you know, I'm driving, you know. And, I mean, I had a guy cut me off one time driving, and he starts fussing at me, and he was going. He ran a stop sign, and I'm totally in the right, and he wants to fuss at me, and I just looked at him. And
they do that.
Then
you're right. You know, they'll cut you off and give you the finger and act all stank. You're absolutely correct. You know.
Yeah, I mean, what was the purpose of that? You know, and they're expending all this energy. They got the veins popping in their head, and I'm just laughing, and I just drive off. You know, because it's like, really? As long as you don't, like I said before, as long as you're not putting your hands on me or somebody I care about, so, you know, go about your business. It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just that simple.
Wow. I know that.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that I feel that way, and I be done played the knockout game on somebody else because I feel like they're going to knock me out. Give
wow.
me the wrong signal, and I'm sorry. I'll apologize later. But you got to go to sleep for a minute. Go sleep. Go
yeah,
sleep.
Yeah. What is that? Hold that, huh?
Right. I can't play the game with you. You know.
Well,
one of
I know
reactors.
One thing. I don't know martial arts. Well, I don't remember what I learned when I was working for the Department of Corrections. But right now, you know, I ain't sitting there trying to do no kicks and swats. All that spinning around and arms up in the air, I got me a couple of guns and I got a taser. And you can come up here, fuck with me if you want to. I got something for your ass. But, you know, if you want to call in and talk to Hun C. Naquan Murphy, you need to call 347-945-6003 and hit the number one key, and I'll know you want to ask a question. But we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap this up, and he's going to tell us how to get a hold of him. We're going to ask him a few questions. We're going to let our co-hosts and our guests on the line give their little 2 cents, and I want everybody to hang in there because this has been a fantastic show, but it ain't over yet.
Come over here, sweetie. I really want to talk to you for a few moments. Mm-hmm. Hey.
the waters in your day, and you've been through some things. He might just be the one, my get off and charming. There's something about him so different.
Yeah, to know yourself a little better. I'm trying to help you, girl, for what it's worth.
Cause you done been there and done.
But I'm going to ask for a discount when I blow up. But, you know,
Hot dang, so yeah. So I got Shalanda on the line. I got Miss Delicious. I got Mr. Robinson on the line. I got a caller whose last digits are 1812. If they press 1, they can talk to Daquan Murphy. And Daquan Murphy, darling, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Having a good time. Having a real good time.
Yes, we are too. I'm going to let these ladies ask their questions. I'm going to start with my co-host, Shalanda, ask you some questions she might be concerned about.
Yes. I know earlier we had talked about the children thing, and I have 4 of them that I really, really want to get into. Like my 12-year-old, he was really bullied in school, so I didn't really want to put him in last year because I was scared that he would retaliate against some of the bullies last year. But I really want to get him into martial arts. You know, I as a child, was trained in martial arts. My sensei was Greg Brown out of Baltimore. He's now retired, but he trained my father. He trained my brothers. And I stopped when, like I said before, my father kicked me in the face when I was younger, and I was like, all right, I quit. But I really do want to get my children into it. And you said that, you know, you should, like, search for different schools in your area. And, I mean, what would be some of the questions that you may want to ask? I don't know what a serious dojo look like compared to some of the fake ones, except for a whole lot of commercialization.
Well,
or something.
One thing I'll tell you is this. Your first step is to ask your child, what do they want to do it? Because
they definitely do.
If they want to do it, then you take them with you when you go to these different schools. And first and foremost, see the age groups of some of the people that's on the floor working out. And then see the abilities. Because you can kind of judge and tell if someone is doing something that is not quite right. When I say not quite right, I mean, if I come to you and touch you on your shoulder and you fall over like I just punched you in the face, then okay, something's wrong with that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you see where these kids are, or these even whatever students they are actually got a good sweat going and the techniques look like they're viable and they work and it got you excited by looking at them, then that's what you want. The questions you want to ask are, do they have techniques specific for scenarios? For example, like you say, your child's being bullied. So the type of techniques that you want to do are not something that you want to start being too flashy and up and down and all that kind of flying through the air, but maybe something that's short, quick, you know, closed areas. Because a bully, especially, you know, someone bullying a kid, they want to get that kid in a small space, a small area, like a bathroom or a locker room stall, something like that. So you want to be able to have that child be able to protect themselves in that small area, you know. So things like that, you know, those kind of questions you want to ask. Then you also definitely want to go into the mental aspect of it, because physical is great. But without the mental to go with it, it's a lost thing, because now you just got somebody just running free without thinking, you know. So you want to see how they're going to challenge the child mentally. I'll give you a perfect example. One of the things that we do with our students is when they go up for promotional rank, they actually have to take a written test as well as a physical test. So that lets me know that they're paying attention, not only physically, but mentally. The questions that are on that test, they're being graded. And if they fail that written test, they don't even take the physical test. All right? Because I want their mind into what they're doing. I gauge the questions that they ask in class. If they ask some whimsical question about martial arts because it's something they saw on television, you know, and it's like I said, something kind of whimsical, and you can kind of relate to, like, are you serious? Did you really ask me that question? Or are they asking you questions that are, you know, direct to the point about what they want to know? You know, that's what you want to hear. you want to hear, you want to know that that child is thinking, that student in general is thinking about what they're doing, you know, and it's important to them to know. It was one of the biggest things that I learned from my instructors when I first started. My instructors used to stay there in front of the class and say, look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you, look behind you, and do the same thing in a month and see if the same people are around you. Because one of the things, like you said, if you don't have it in you, if it's not something that you want, your desire to do, then, you know, it's a waste of time. Because you have to want it. And whatever your reason for wanting it, let that be your driving force. Because let's talk about fear, for example. You talk about bullying. Talk about fear. Fear can be something that makes you crawl up into a corner and just stay. Or fear can be something that you feed off of and make you stronger. Because you know what? I'm afraid. I still work out. I still practice. I walk the street. I'm afraid. I don't have a problem saying it. But at the same time, I don't let my fear control me. I let it feed me. And then, I do that Bugs Bunny thing. I'll be afraid later, but right now I'm mad. You know?
I got Mrs. Delicious here. She got a question she want to ask before you get up off of here.
Yes.
Are you still teaching the martial arts to this day, or what's going on with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you're teaching it to all ages or?
All ages.
Okay.
All ages. What I do more now because, you know, I have black belts that are under me, and, you know, I kind of mentor them in how to teach students and what their students need. And I also teach them. And then what I also do is I'll come into the schools that they have, and I'll actually teach their students as well, you know. And because they have to be fed knowledge to the instructors. So, you know, to make them grow and progress. So, you know, them watching me do something, I'll give you a perfect example. We have a school in Homedale, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And the instructor there, you know, has a great core group of students, adults and children. But they never competed in a tournament. And he kind of like, you know, like that mother hen was kind of coddling them. And I told him, I said, you know what? They need to go into a tournament. They need to fight. And he was like, yeah, but what? They're ready. You're not ready. They are ready. I said, here's the thing. They're going, by them working out with just themselves, you know, they kind of know each other's moves. They kind of know each other's weakness and strengths, so they can kind of play around that. But if they go in a controlled competition and they're going against somebody from another school, this person they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So now they get to find out, does my blocks work?
Mm-hmm.
Am I actually striking this person? And, you know, my kicks working, they are getting in. And then they get a nice trophy or a medal. You know, but the thing is this. So he went to a local tournament in New Jersey, and he was nervous as a cat. But do you know what? Students loved it. They were so excited, and they're still talking about it. And that was like 2 weeks ago, you know.
Wow.
So the thing is that, you know, you have to know how to, you know, make that student confident in what they're doing and kind of, you know, tax their mind, if you will, and get them going, get them energized, you know. And so what is, like I said, I still teach. I love it.
Let me ask you this. What is the highest belt a recipient can receive?
Average, the highest rank is 10th degree.
And what color belt is that?
It varies from system to system, but I mean, you're a black belt, but it's usually a red belt in color, the color red. Now, let me address that. Depending on what style of martial art it is, a red belt could be a low-ranking belt, but for most grandmasters, which is that would be that rank or that title, it's usually a red belt with some kind of highlight of either gold or something on it like that. As you go up from a black belt, starting out as a first-degree black belt, the belts do change in most systems. They change the colors. Now, usually when you have a belt that has red in it, like the first master's rank or title of Shihan is it's called a wrenching belt, and it's a red, a white, and then on the inside is black. So in other words, you have a long strip of white, a long strip of red. The red signifies sacrifice, because let's face it, if you're going to, you know, get in there and train for as many years and hours and things that you put into it, all that sweat, that, you know, sometimes you take away from other things that you might want to do or people that you might want to be around, you know, but the thing is, that's why that belt has red in it, because it's a sacrifice, and all master's ranks from there have some type of red in it for the sacrifice. As you go higher, you'll see white, more prominent white in it, because white represents that purity, you know, and it also takes you back to your start, your beginning. And then, like my belt, for example, I have a belt, it's sectioned off, 12 inches of the belt is red, 12 inches is black, 12 inches red, black, red, black, all there. That's what my belt looks like, for example. And my grandmasters, their belts are red, and they're highlighted in gold, and they have some kanji characters written on them. But, you know, again, it depends on the type of martial arts you take. But for the most part, in all of them, 10th degree is usually the highest that you can, you know, that's, come on, because we have to have a limit. And otherwise, we'll have somebody walking in talking about, I'm a 100th degree black belt. You know, okay, really? You know? But, you
that's
know,
funny
usually.
You said that.
Most...
you got to have a limit. I mean, damn, by the time you get 10th degree, you a bad brother or sister, man. You know, you don't need to go any higher. But, Naquan, could you tell anybody out here how they can get a hold of you in case they want services or they want to be get into your classes or be bodyguard or whatever? Because you do a range of things dealing with safety, martial arts, weaponry. So you're a bad brother. Could you let them know how to get a hold of you?
Sure. My telephone number is 917-302-39. 56, and I'll say it again, 917-302-3956. And if you call me, and of course if I don't recognize them, I might answer, I might not, but please leave a message so I can get back to you, because I will do that. And I also have a website that you can contact me from the website as well. My website is www.xringmaster.com. That's www.xringmaster.com. And on that website, you can contact me through that. You can also contact me through my email address, which is xringmaster.nm@gmail.com. So again, that's xringmaster.nm@gmail.com. And of course, I have a Facebook account at the same name as well.
Okay, so your Facebook is under X Ringmaster, or is it under Hansi Naquan?
Well, I actually have two. I have Hansi Naquan Murphy, and I also have X-Ring Master. I have a business account of X-Ring Master. So you can actually get to me either way.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you out there, go ahead to Facebook and like X-Ring Master. That's a good thing.
And I want everybody to know we're going to take a small break, but when we come back, everybody going to give a shout-out, because we're ending and we're winding down 2013, and this is an opportunity to tell your friends and your family and your loved ones, you know, how you doing. You want to say something special, because we will never be this way again. So we're going to come back, and we're going to make sure that we get a chance to give our shout-out to everybody.
You and me, girl. I see you remember that song. Go a long way back, and I'm so proud, yeah, you and me.
remember when loving you wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, baby. But I stuck on in there with you, and we made it. Sugar, we made it. Through it all, now let's keep it up. 'Cause I ain't had enough. No, no.
You and me, girl.
Oh. Go a long way back. Took a long, 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 long way. Hey,
you and me, girl.
Yeah, girl. Go a long way. When trying to love me wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, baby. But you stuck on in there with me, and you see what we made it. Just you and me. And we love each other so, till we can't let each other go. No, yeah.
You and me, girl.
Go along.
Wow, wow, that was Bloodstone. We Go a Long Way Back. Woo, what a song to end the year out. This is coming to a close of 2013, and I want to thank my co-host, Shalonda, for being here, my guest, Hunsi Naquan Murphy. I want to thank my callers that called in, Philip Robinson. I want to thank one of my beautiful friends, Miss Delicious Johnson, you know, but I just want to say, you know, we will never be this way again. So we ought to start the new year with forgiveness. We ought to let things go and just move forward and be adults, because we don't know how long we got to be here. And with that being said, I want to give a special shout out to some of my friends, Manya Washington, Terry and Alethea Huffman, Mark Anthony Real, Wayne Ditchville. I want to say hello to my mom who came down to visit me through the holidays, Lola. I want to say hello to some other people that I know, Cassandra Motes, Irene Motes, Terrence Bellamy, Sheppy Robertson, Pat Robertson, Sylvia and Stanley Robertson. I want to say hello to Harlan and Bruce Murphy. Oh, so the list goes on, but you know that I love you, and I wish you well and be blessed on a new year. And if you're holding on to some baggage, let it go, because it's not going to profit you anything. And so I'm going to give the mic over to my co-host, Shalonda, and after her, ladies first, I'm going to let Gail say what she got to say, and we're going to end off with our fantastic guest. I'm so glad he joined us this evening for 2 hours to hang out and show us how to be safe. And this brother is bad, man. He can kick ass, so you better watch yourself, you know. But with that being said, Shalonda, say your goodbyes, because this is going to be all, it's going to be all over. Next show is going to be 2014.
It is, and I thank you, Miss Perry, first, for always giving me the opportunity. Always been, even though I was a child and you was a grown-up, always been a good person and a good friend to me. As a child, when we used to act up and show off and act crazy on my dad. But always, all love goes to my father, Stanley C. Sneed. He always told me I could do anything I want to do. And
amen.
I know
that's
I've been
my
through a lot.
Dog. Anybody
and,
don't know
and,
Stan Sneed. That brother, he has the Midas touch. He can make anything
yes.
turn to gold. If you don't
Absolutely.
Know, you need to talk to him and get with him.
And also to my fiance, he always has my back. Stephen Askes, some of the crazy ventures that I go on with Stan Sneed, he always has my back with it, because you know we always doing something. And this is my first venture out actually away from him, with him not taking the wheel. But I know I have faith in Miss Terry, because she's always
all
been
right.
there. Like I said, to my mother, who for a long time me and her never was on the same page, and now thankfully this year we finally got on the same page, and
That's
we've
wonderful.
Been good friends
That's a blessing.
Ever since. My brother Steven, who is Stan Jr., he's always
yeah.
on my page too. He always has my back and I always have his. Me and my little sister, we're not the best of friends, but at least this year we're talking where last year we weren't. Thank the Lord for all of my family and my friends. I don't have too many enemies that I know of personally. I try to accept everybody for who they are, and everybody who knows me knows that. I'm a realist like Miss Terry. I speak my mind like Miss Terry. And at the end of the day, you know I love you, and it all came out of love for you, that I even took the time out of my day to even attempt to, you know, give you some real words and some positive encouragement. I thank you, Mr. Murphy, because I'm so scared about martial arts. It's not one of my most pleasant subjects. I mean, I wasn't a Bruce Lee fan growing up. Yeah, but, it's, you know, I've always been a weapons person, and I know that it's okay now. It's not as taboo as it used to be for a female to be into weaponry. I love knives and swords. I've always loved knives and swords, and I'm a collector of knives and swords, and anybody who knows me knows that. I want to thank Miss Delicious. From the first time I spoke to her,
She absolutely made me comfortable with being on this show with Miss Terry. This, like I said, this is my first venture into radio, and she's always, you can do it, this is how we do it, and I'm going to walk you through it. So I just thank God for everybody who's come to my life to open up brand new doors for me, because I love venturing out and learning new things. I'm one of them people that's a forever student. I'm going to be a lifelong student, and I love learning new things. So I just thank God for everybody, and I pray that everybody have a blessed new year.
Well, that's how you do it. Now we're going to kick it off with Mr. Elicious, and then we're going to get Mr. Robinson on the line, if he's still here, and Mr. Murphy. And if I call it, they got 1812 as your last digit. If you press number one, I know you want to say something before we get off here. So with that being said, we're going to hit it with Ms. Delicious.
All righty then. Thank you very much, Terry Elow. I love you to death, girl, because you are one of the realest persons that I've met in 2013. And we're venturing into 2014. And hopefully, you know, with God on our side, we're going to venture out into some brand new waters and do a lot of things together. And I love you, you know, for the things that you've done for me. And Shalandra, I do appreciate you for appreciating me.
I
really do, you know, because rarely do you find people who will even thank you for the little things that you may do for them. So I do appreciate you for giving me that shout out. Naquan, I do appreciate you as well for coming on, being Terry's guest tonight, and giving us that insightful information. And everybody out there who's listening to this show, come back every Friday, because Terry is all the way live. When you come here, you will be unmasked. That's 7:30 every Friday evening right here on Unmasked with Authoress Terry E. Lyles. And hopefully everybody out there who is enjoying the new year, who comes into the new year, be safe, be careful. If you're drinking, don't drive. If you're driving, don't drink. We love talking to you, not about you. With that being said, Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
Robinson,
I'm here.
Are you still on the line?
I'm still here.
Okay, well, this is your chance, brother, to say what you need to say, because you're ending out 2013. You can get some shout-outs, and the floor is yours, and then we're going to end with our fantastic guests.
I just want to say, for you and your family, I hope you have a proper and blessed new year, and keep it real, all the time. I love you. And Mr. Murphy, you have a prosperous new year, too. And, boy, you're awesome. Keep your
thank you
doing.
Thank
don't
you.
Every stop. I love you.
Thank you.
All right. Now we have Mr. Murphy, our special guest tonight. We're going to end the show with you. Ending out.
Well, I would like to say thank you, first of all, for, you know, having me on. And thank you. The wonderful people who actually called in and asked me questions. I appreciate you all. I want to thank, you know, my family, because I love them. And, you know, I want to end with one thing. Just remember something. Amateurs train to get it right. Professionals train to get it wrong. So always keep
trying. Say that again. I don't understand that.
Amateurs train to get it right. Professionals train to get it wrong. What that means is when you first start something, you want to get to a certain plateau. But don't stay at that plateau. Push yourself. See where your faults may lie, where you can keep going and fix it. So that's what I mean by professionals get it wrong.
Okay. It makes a lot of sense.
All right. So with that, you know, again, God bless everybody. Have a safe new year. And give a brother a call. That's all.
That's right. Give the brother a call, because this brother is bad. I mean, when I blow up, he's going to be here to security, because he can do it all, man. So don't let the smile fool you. But I want to wish everybody a happy New Year's, and thanks for coming. And like Mr. Licious said, come back again. And I want to also say hi to Jay Bryant. I forgot to mention her. But there's so many people that I can't remember everybody. But, you know, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from North to South, from the over in the globe, all of my friends, you know who you are. Happy New Year's, and I hope to see you again when 2015 make it. Don't leave me in 2014. And everybody, let's say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
There's an old friend that I want to. Just like the river, I've been running ever since. He said it's been a long time coming, but I know my change is gonna come.
Now, that was Aretha Franklin, A Change Is Going to Come. And I'd like to say, again, Happy New Year to everybody. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here and be in my right mind. And I pray that the Lord make me a better person in 2014 and let me learn how to be more forgiving. I have a friend out there I haven't talked to in years, Cynthia Perry. If you hear this broadcast, I love you, sis. You know, it's nothing too hard that, you know, we can't mend the fences that were broken. And I thank my special co-host, Shalonda, man, for hanging in there and doing what she do the best. And to God be the glory in all things. And Shalonda, darling, have a happy, happy New Year, sweetie.
You too, Miss Terry. And I will pass that message on because she actually is in Baltimore for the week.
All right. Well, you take care and you be sweet. And that's another segment of Unmasked with authors Terry Lau and Shalonda. Bye.
God bless.